Now, we're going to begin a new series called... All right. Okay, did you have your breakfast? All right. Okay, let's do that again. Okay, we're going to have a new series called... Added. All right, that's fantastic. Okay, added. Hopefully, every one of you seated here, when you are part of this church, you have a spirit of addition. You have a position, you have an atmosphere, you have a spirit, you have a desire in your heart that whatever that you do, you like to add something to this house. Hopefully, none of you are subtractor. You know, where your job is to subtract joy or to minus, you know, none of all that, all right? But the word added is more than just you and I wanting to add something into what we already have going on. But really, the word added, it's a biblical word. And I'm going to walk you through a little bit when the Bible talk about the concept of added through the lens of the scripture. Okay, now, first of all, let me capture to you why this series. Now, how many of you have been through or have gone for eye checkup? How many of you have gone for eye checkup? All right. Now, if you have not, wow, salute. Okay, which means that God has given you a perfect eye. Okay. Eye checkup has nothing to do with double eyelid. Has everything to do with your vision. Okay, just in case. All right. Now, if you have been to one, you will realize that in every eye checkup, whenever they put this gadget over your eyes, what they do is they will have as many different lenses to put on it so that you get the best visibility or the vision of whatever that you're seeing. Am I correct? Okay. Now, so if you are like me, my eyes are a bit complicated. I have long time ago, short-sighted means I cannot see far, correct? All right. I've got short-sighted since I was young. That was the result of every night while my dad go to bed, waking up under the blanket, using torchlight or little light, reading comic books. The result of that was when I hit about, 14 years old, my eyesight was pretty bad. In fact, my left eye, I think, was about 1,000. That was how high my short-sightedness is, all right? And as I grow old, I then develop astig. Astig means I got sun quang, okay, which is also very high. When I met the doctor, I think one side was about 750, and he says one of the highest he's ever met. And so I have that as well. As I age in life, I now develop long-sighted or far-sighted or whatever you call it, okay? Which now I also couldn't see far. I couldn't see near, okay? And plus, the way my eye has developed over the years, there are certain angles that I couldn't see very clearly. So every time when I do an eye checkup, it gets a bit complicated because they're trying to find the best spot and angle and lenses and size of it and the thickness and the thinness of it, you know, and so that I can see clearly. So I guarantee you, in the night, if I were to take off my glass, I cannot see my wife. So there were moments when I wake up in the night and I see a long hair lady. I'm just kidding, okay? I don't know, is that my wife or is that something else, okay? Because without glasses, I am really dysfunctional, so to speak, okay? Now, all these lenses that I put on was so that I get the clearest visibility. Am I correct? Now, today, this series is very important to me. Hopefully, it's important to you because I wanted everybody to see the same thing. I wanted all of you to see what I felt God has put before me for me to see what's going to happen to the church. Much of every year is an important month for me. It is important for me because in the month of March of every year, it's almost the time I try to take on the most important series that I can do for the church. So this is the way I think. In the month of January, all of us seek God and we said no to food, right? We do fasting and all those. Then comes Chinese New Year. We say yes to food. We try to say yes to God, okay? Somehow, the year kind of started really in the month of March. After the prayer fasting, after the getting children settled in school and after all the Chinese New Year and so I always like to take the month of March to be the month where I can communicate and preach a series that can rally the church to see the whole thing. And whether you realize it or not, every year I take the month of March to talk about discipleship. I talk about the importance of why we do what we do. So this March, I'm going to take that lens again, but I'm going to do it a little bit different. Okay, now the three lenses that I'm trying to put on. First of all, I'm trying to put on the Bible lens. You know, as a pastor, one of the million-dollar questions I ask every time is, why am I still breathing on earth? Second question, what am I called to be a pastor? What I'm trying to lead the church towards? Am I trying to lead a church to be a church whereby we please man and not God? Are we trying to lead a church where it becomes almost like a social club? Or we're trying to lead people to do something and to fulfill the great commission that God has for us? I got to ask myself that $1 million question. What am I leading as a pastor? Well, to help me to see that lens clearly, I then have to work through, why do we exist as a church, right? So first of all, I try to take on a biblical lens, which I'm going to walk through with you shortly. That's always been the greatest passion of my heart, because this morning, all of us could have spent our time doing something else other than church. We could have gone for golfing, those who love to do that. We could have gone for movie. We could have gone for hang out with people. Some of us could have gone for hiking. We could have done so many other things, but not this. So the reason we gather together, there must be a massive reason to compel us to do what we do. All right? So biblically, first of all, I got to work through that. Secondly, I try to take on a vision lens. I try to ask myself where we are as a church. We moved into this facility about 1.5 years ago. This facility has helped us to grow as a church. Can I go amen? All right, when we moved in, this hall is about half filled. Today, this hall is potentially about 80 to 90% filled. And so we have grown. We have a Saturday service that we recently make a little bit of a shift. We took all the teenage and we put them right back on Sunday morning. And every weekend, we have about 80 to 100 teens that is worshiping there, that is really anchored by the massive team of teens volunteer. The kids have also grown. At the same time, we are trying to plant two churches. We just planted one in Gateway, led by Pastor Posing. And that is doing well. However, that needs strengthening in terms of volunteers. And this year, surely, we are going to plant the PJ Church. We're just waiting to finalize the best location to do so. But every Sunday at 4 p.m., the PJ Church meets on their own right now so that they kind of get used to the coming together and they no longer join us most of the time because we are planting two churches. No, I'm kind of waiting for that to settle down and to see what kind of changes to do with this. But what I'm trying to say here is, practically as a church, from a vision point of view, we potentially need to do two services on Sunday at some point this year. Can I get amen? All right. It's the breakfast thing. It wasn't a faith thing. It was a breakfast thing, okay? Well, at the same time, we are having massive renovation for our facility. We moved our office right above, and we're going to massively renovate at our annex hall. And 3 months, hopefully 3 to 4 months from now, when you walked in, it is going to be a different hall. We are trying to create nice space. And why would all this facility be needed? So that we can serve the number of people that we are believing God, that God will add to this household. So when I put on a vision lens, whether it's facility, whether it's volunteer, whether it's doing more services, whether it's planting more churches, we are having a little shift as a church as we try to position for what the Lord has called us to do. Third is a prophetic lens. What I meant by prophetic lens was 2016 was a critical year, because 2016, Jim LaFoon in Manila, over a prayer, turned to Malaysia, and some of you know the story, some of you do not know, but let me fill you in, and talk about 2016, that Malaysia is going to have a shift of government. Now, you might have all the Semenyih question in your mind. Don't ask me. Okay, I don't know. All I know is in that prophecy, Jim LaFoon prophesied that Malaysia is going to have a chief of government through a new party which was not even formed by then. And history tells us last year, that there was such a shift on in this government by a new party which was not even formed. And when Jim LaFoon was prophesying over that prophecy, he was telling us that it's not so much of the shift of government, but he is saying that all this happened is because that God is opening up a door of unprecedented harvest to Malaysia. Now, I know that prophecy I forwarded to key Malaysian pastors, whether it's Philip Lin, Dr. Chu, Daniel Ho, you know, all those, I forwarded to all of them. And this prophecy has come to pass. But I hold as an Every Nation pastor, which is the first movement that God has entrusted the prophetic word. So every morning, every afternoon, every night, every day, I think about that word. I think about the stewardship of that word that God has given unto us, that God is going to open an unprecedented harvest door. And what am I doing about it? Am I making every shift possible so that we are part of that harvest? So that when I and you appear to God, when I meet up with God, I will not tell God that I have no time for the harvest because I was busy looking for a house. I was busy trying to shape my dog. I was busy trying to have greater investment. Somehow, in your schedule, as you travel, as you eat, as you enjoy all those, somewhere in your heart, there must be a room. Some of us bigger room, some of us smaller room, but nevertheless, a big space in your heart that you will come before God and say, God, what do you want me to do? How can I be part of it? Now, so I'm taking all these three lenses as I shape this series called Added. All right, are you with me? Okay, let me go through the first passage. Acts chapter 2 is a story of the disciples after meeting with Christ, and the Bible says that Christ died, resurrected. Before his resurrection, before he went to the cross, he told the disciples, he says, I want you to wait. Sorry, this is after that, okay? After he resurrected, met the disciple, and he told them, he says, wait for me in Jerusalem 10 days because I'm going to pour out the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that God poured out his Holy Spirit at a critical moment because all the Jews were gathering in the temple. At that moment, three times a year, this is a major movement. All of them come together. Peter stood up and preached a powerful gospel. So much so that all of them that was in the temple cried out and said, what must we do to be saved? So we pick up the story in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter replied, each of you must repent. Would you read together? Can? All right, let's do that. Okay, each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those who are far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Now, this scripture, most of us have experienced. If you have come for spiritual family, I use this to talk about spiritual family, because this scripture tells you the way for us to encounter God is, first of all, you got to repent of your sin. Now, how many of you have done that? Okay. Yesterday, I had Discovering God. I got two of them who did that. All right. It was Thomas and Howie. One of my most, I totally enjoyed last night. Okay. But never mind. Let's just move on. Okay. So anyway, two of them repent of their sin. And then the Bible says, not only you repent of your sin, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the water baptism. If you have not done so, you need to do it in the month of end March. Then he says, you will then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit for us. That simply means an encounter with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit baptism. And that is the beginning of entering into the world of the Holy Spirit. At least that is a quick summary that I can say. Now, most of us would have one, two, and three. But did you know that that wasn't sufficient? That wasn't what is in God's mind. The Bible continued and said that Peter continued preaching for a long time. That's where all the preacher gets this bad habit. All right? Strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. He begins to say, not only is water get saved, water baptized, Holy Spirit says, then I move you to this place where you can be saved from this crooked generation. And then the Bible says, those who believe what Peter said were baptized and added to the church. Now, that's where we get the title of this series. The concept of added is this. Before the 3,000 were added, let me quiz you a little bit. When Jesus came, how many disciples did he have? 12. Bigger than the 12, you got the outer circle. Who are they? You call them the 70. So if you read the Bible carefully, you got the 12, you got the 70. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus sifted through everybody who cheered for him but never appeared, and then at the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there were a number that gathered at the upper room. How many know the number? 120 of them. So the Bible tells us you got a 12, you got a 70, and then you got all together 120. So guess when Jesus said they were added to the church, they were added to the 120, because then that's where the addition came, which means that addition only happens to what already exists. Then you can add them unto that particular group. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, describe what church is all about, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which God just told them about 50 over days ago, all right, before he died, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed, come on, everybody say together, many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had, which means there's a community there, not a communism, but a community there. They sold their property and possession and shared the money with those in need. Extreme generosity. They worshiped together at the temple every day, or at the church every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, which is why we advocate live group, so that you can meet together. And then all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And would you read together the last phrase? And each day the Lord added to their fellowship or church those who were being saved. Now in this scripture, in this passage, two times the word added were being used. If you go back and read Acts 5, Acts 11, after critical event that happened that caused a whole bunch of people got saved, the Bible consistently say people were added, people were added, people were added. Now, what we are trying to achieve in this added series is very simple. We hope to achieve two things. First of all, we hope every one of you will be added. All right, let me say a couple of things, okay? Just because you're in the building doesn't mean you are added. Just because you are in the chat group, it doesn't mean you are added. There is a difference between in the group and with the group. Let me give you an illustration. You know, in my life, obviously there were a few transitions in my life that was critical. One of them was when I went to the States and to study in Bible college. I went to Portland, and I still remember that being an Asian, which generally we are always intimidated by the Americans. I'm looking at some of them there. First of all, the Americans are big. Secondly, you always struggle to speak English in front of them, because sometimes and oftentimes they cannot understand my kind of English. And I still remember there was one particular moment, just to illustrate, you know, and I always tell the story, which is when I was dating Teresa, our first date, we were on the bike and took her out for the first date, which I'm going to tell her, would you, not marry me, would you want to relate me in an exclusive relationship? And I took her on the bike, and a herd of cow, moo moo cow, all right, came out from the bush and occupied a 3-lane road. We banged on the cow, we fell. I fell graciously, she fell in love. Okay? We started that relationship. Okay? Now, I want you to know, this is a very difficult skill. Because to cause her to fall in love, you must hit the cow and stay alive and look cool. And the cow wasn't injured at all. All right? So everybody wins. Okay? Now, I'm just kidding. Okay? I remember telling this story to a whole bunch of my American friends. They all were laughing. Right after I told the story, one of them, as we walked away, he pulled me aside. He says, I don't understand. How can a car come out from the bush? I told the story. Everybody laughed. After that, he pulled me aside. As we walked away, he says, I still don't understand that story. How can a car come out from the bush? I can imagine. I spent 10, 15 minutes telling the story. They laugh with me, but they walk away. That's not a cow. That's a car. Are you with me? So every time when you try to, you know, The culture was so different. My first day in America, I still remember we went for breakfast. Right in front of me was a football player. He's the size of Ben or the size of Mark, you know, which is, you know, another big size American. He's the size of that. He's so tall. I was right behind him. We went for breakfast. He walked to the kitchen table. He took 6 to 8 packs of milk. Just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. My turn. I took one. Right? We both took cereal and I sat right opposite him. He took out one pack, he drank. Second pack, drank. Third pack, drank. Put some on the cereal, drank. Immediately right in front of my eyes, he finished 6 to 8 packs. I had my one pack, I poured it half to the glass. I drank and I look at him. Once he finished 8 of them, he says, "Do you want mine?" He said, "Yeah." He took mine and drank as well. You know, all of a sudden, I moved from an Asian culture to the American culture, which was intimidating for me. And I struggled. I was in the school. I was in the community, but I wasn't with. Are you with me? That, you know, they will joke something that I cannot get it. I'll say something, they don't get it. You know what I'm saying? I was struggling with that, the food they eat, you know, all those things. Until the first time the American friends celebrated my birthday. And I still remember, it was in a Burger King where they put a crown on top of me and they were all bowing down, pretending to worship. They said, "That's my birthday," okay? You know, right after that, the ice broke. And, you know, all of a sudden, we became good friends. Now, I started to embed into the culture. I will walk in the hallway and the American will say, "Come on, wrestle. And I'll wrestle with him. And then I say, "Oh, not bad, Asian, okay, Jackie Chan, okay, not bad, okay." And then we kind of walk away. And sooner or later, at some point, I realized I wasn't just in the group, I was. And the word "added" became meaningful because I now no longer just participate, but I was with them in every capacity. Now, my goal in "added" was, first of all, I want as many of you to be added to the church, where you no longer just attend, but you help to build this church together. Come on, okay, good amen. All right, at least some of you had breakfast, okay? Very good, okay? Second thing that I wanted to achieve is we want you to be added so that you can then add others. All right, we'll come to that to the later part of the series. Now, so what does it mean to be added in every nation? Number one, you serve. You create a space in your schedule. Some of you might be project basis. Some of you might be weekly basis. Some of you might be monthly basis. Some of you might be yearly basis. But at some point, you chip in your talent, your gifting, and your energy, and you help to serve this house together. You that's the beginning step, all right? Secondly, you find a place where you can belong. You find a small group. You find a group where you can connect lives, you can share life, and people can journey with you. When you have a broken relationship, someone can stand with you. When you're going through financial crisis, someone to stand with you. I mean, we want you to be a place where you feel belong. Number three, you start to make disciples. You start to not just think about life, about all about you, but it's about others. You know, making disciples really begins by when you shift your attention, not on your problem, not on your challenges, not on your car, not on your house, not on your plumbing issue, and you move your attention to someone else and you begin to pour the life of God into someone. That is always the first step of making disciples. Number four, we're going to talk about giving. We don't talk a lot about giving as a church, but every year I try to surface one message about giving because it's not about the money, it is about honoring God with the things that He has given unto you. Okay, good amen. All right, we're going to talk about, and finally, you would at some point desire to grow so that you can build the church together and hold a certain role that is critical to help others to grow and feel added as well. So we're going to work through this 5 messages in the next 5 weekends, and we're going to talk about all these 5 things. Today, I'm going to begin with the word serving, all right? John chapter 13, which is the passage in the Bible just before Jesus went to the cross. He gathered all the disciples. Let me fill in a little bit of a background. All right. All this while, Jesus has been struggling to download to the disciples the importance of serving. So finally, 3.5 years later, Jesus decided to do the most personal illustration to all of them about serving. So this is what he did. He got up from the table, took off his robe. Everybody say, take off your robe. You know, for you to serve, you got to take off your robe. Some of us do not have just one robe. Some of us has many robes. And it's so difficult for us to think about serving. You know, today's generation is consists of two kinds of people. Those who feel deserve and those who desire to serve. For those who deserve, our job is to deserve. To help them to think about serving, right? Because life is really about that. And then he wrapped a towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested. He says, "You will never ever wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Would you say it together? Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Now, this is a very critical statement. Jesus is trying to tell his disciples, right? He's trying to tell Peter, "Peter, if you never understood servanthood, you actually do not belong to me. If you've been a Christian and your focus is about you, it's about who can take me out for lunch, who can fetch me to church, who can help me with my kids, and that has just been your trend of thoughts." Jesus says, he says, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Jesus is trying to help Peter to understand servanthood is huge. One of the things that when God comes into your life is to shift that little deserving to be someone who is willing to serve. And then he continues, after washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's who I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." Now, servanthood, it's really a biblical thought. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and serve those who do not know him. When something happens in your life, now I know some of not everyone has said yes to God, but if you have, one of the powers to know whether the quality that God has shifted and changed your life is whether are you willing to be a servant? Are you willing to take your gifting, your time, and carve it out and be willing to serve? All right, now, in this weekend, we're going to do a volunteer rally weekend. I'll come to that very soon, okay? Now, this is what we want to say every time we come together as serve, okay? We desire serving that will bring a, come on, say it together, wow. Now, moving forward, this is going to be carved in our stone, all right? We're going to do that moving forward. Right, so as you can see, as a church grow, I'm trying to systemize as much thing, trying to create a certain culture. The culture of serving is this: every time when someone comes, I hope they walk away after experience the way we serve, they walk away with a wow. So they come to church, they meet the ushers, they shake their head, they walk away, wow, everybody is so friendly. They come to our worship team, they say, wow, the next worship experience was fantastic. They go to the coffee, Connect Corner. Wow. Now, I know we will always have room to improve. But nevertheless, it is our desire that as we serve, our desire for everybody to experience a wow. They come to our church, they listen to our music, they get to experience, they meet our ushers, they go to our kids' church, and wow, the kids' zone teacher is so nice. Wow, the teens are really excellent. My kids has changed. So they walk away, wow, 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 wow. Now, this is what we desire. Everybody walking away with a, come on, wow. Now, this is a story. 1 Kings chapter 10. This is a story of Queen Sheba and King Solomon. Queen Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon. And in chapter 10, Queen Sheba visited Solomon. So this story, all right, we'll pick up on verse 4. When the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, The food of his table. Notice. She is a guest. She walked in to King Solomon Temple. She noticed the building. She noticed the food of the table. She noticed the sitting of the officials. She noticed attendance of the servant, which is the ushers, their clothing, his cupbearer, which is more trusted, and the burnt offering they offered the house. And there was no more breath in her. So here it is. Queen Sheba came and visited Solomon Temple. When she walked out, she said, wow. She said, I walked in there. Wow, the food was excellent. The people was great. The servant, the cupbearer, they were all top notch, right? Then she said to the king, the report was true that I heard in my own land of your words and your wisdom, but I did not believe the reports until I came and my own eyes had seen it. Behold, the half was not told to me, which means that all the Facebook, all the Instagram, all the things that I followed were just half of the truth that I now experience, because until I come, my eyes have seen your wisdom and prosperity surpass the report I heard. He says, how do I know that? Because happy are your men. He says, your usher team, right? Everybody looks so happy. The music team, happy. Kids church, happy. Teens, happy. VDJ, happy. Everybody, all right? Who continue happy are your men, happy are your servants, who continue stand before you and hear your wisdom. And I love the last part. As she listened and absorbed all of it, she turns to God and she said, blessed be the Lord your God who has delighted in you and set you on the throne of Israel. Now, this is what I want you to do. Everybody that walks into this house, as all of you are going to be added to find some spot of serving, and then people go away, wow, the usher team today, wow. You know, the security, wow. The kids church, wow. The teens, wow. Your creative, wow. Your wow. And then they walk away and the Bible says, Queen Sheba, look to God. He says, blessed be your God. Come on, can you agree, man? Could we kind of imagine that? Can we kind of imagine that every usher, the people that you meet, as you shake your hand, as you bring them, oh, you need a toilet. Let me help you. Let me help you. Of course, you don't go in there. Like, you just, okay, just all right. Oh, kids church, right? You know, when the kids church come, you don't say, you know, it's over there, annex, over there. Which one? Open your eyes, the gray building. Oh, okay. No. What do you do? You say, hey, you know what? Let me bring you to kids church. Right, if you go there and today you it was closed, you say, sorry, kidding. Let me bring you to the right one. Then you bring them back. It's okay, all right? We have all these communication gaps, I know. All right, and then people will walk away. So you will know that the quality is not how professional we are. It's that they walk away knowing that everyone has a heart to serve. They walk away, wow. And then they say that, what a great church. What a great God. Something about them. You know, I have met so many people who came to church and saw Hao Chun, which is extremely successful businessman, being an usher. And in fact, I was talking to Thomas last night, who accepted Christ. He says, Pastor, one of the things that I like about the church is all the successful men, they are so normal. They shake my hand. They have no air about them. God is good at puncturing your air. He's good. Because the greater we are, God has given you the greatest servant we need to be. Now, we want everybody to walk away with her. Now, behind the wow is the making of the wow. This is the making of a wow. I'm trying to say for everyone of us who serve, if you have this three quality, first of all, is your worship unto God. Second is you got to own it. Third is to be wholehearted. Let me just walk through with you every one of them very quickly. Romans 12:1. I appeal therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your... He says, you know what? When you first come to God, you then will dedicate everything you have to the Lord. Now, I know that's a long journey. For some of you, you can only dedicate 2%. That's fine. It doesn't matter. But you begin with that. But you learn that. So, as first of all, why we serve? Because that's my worship unto God. You know, some of you know this, some of you do not know this. For many years, I serve as a pastor. I serve as a volunteer. And some people will ask, they say, Tim, why would you do that? You deserve a salary from the church. And for many years, I've never taken anything. minimal, I mean, in terms of the claims and some of the things I needed to do, but why would I do that? And so often I tell people, because that is my worship unto God. That's just my way of saying, God, you have blessed me. I will manage with what I have, and I love to serve you with that. That is our worship. So first of all, why would you serve? Because that's your worship unto God. What does it mean to be worship unto God? That means you love Him. That means you avail your gift to serve Him. That means you desire to honor God. That means you are humble and your heart is full of gratitude because God came and served you first. So somewhere in your package of thinking, in your desire, you're trying to say, God, all that you have given me, my look, my ability to speak, my singing skill, my way, I am going to use that to worship unto you. All right? That's clear. First of all, why would you serve? Because that's your worship unto God. Secondly, is about ownership. Romans 12:11 says, do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. He says, when you serve God with zeal, you've got to own it. Okay, what does ownership simply mean? It means you're responsible. It means you are dependable. Ooh, dependable. You will not be someone that is on schedule and half of the time, oops, sorry, I cannot make it today. You are dependable. Number three, you are committed. Number four, you are... Okay, not very on time. Let's do this on time. All right, one, two, go. All right, you are on time, okay? And you initiate ownership. You know, I was asking all the different pastors. Very quickly, I sent an email, SMS. I said, hey, you know what? I need someone to have a good ownership story. Agape was one of those few who responded. And I chose this story because I thought it was just an incredible story to illustrate what it means to have people who owns this. This is a story of Jamie, all right? Jamie and Jimmy, I think the daughter is Jovita, Judith, or whatever, okay? Anyway, three of them, all right? Three daughters and Jamie. Is Jamie here? I don't know. She might be in the kids' church, okay? So this is a story. Agape told me this, Pastor, Jamie is the most committed. She said, Jamie is there every week. She says, if there is any event, you can count on her that she will be there. Not only she's there, she will gather all her three daughters to come and serve together. But she said, one incident that stands out the most, which then I text Jamie, and Jamie told me a little bit of a story. In 2017, Jamie's mom went blind and deaf. Oh, sorry. Or maybe she has been struggling with that for a long time. And what happened was she travels from Cheras to PJ, that's where she stays, PJ to Cheras, to look after the mom every day. On top of that, she has to take care of her family. She has to, you know, do whatever she needs to do as a wife. Even in the most stretching season, she has never been absent from a duty every week to serve at Kids Church. When you hear this story, what's your first expression? Wow. Right? That's your first expression. So Jamie, in the midst of life's most pressing moment, which for some of us will say, you know what, Agape, there's nothing wrong. Please, you need to do that, you need to do that. But something about Jamie, they say, you know what, I'm going to build this. I know I'm difficult. I'm going to pull through. But I will be there. I am someone you can depend. I'm someone who is committed. I'll take on responsibility. Ownership. For us to create a wow, first of all, is your worship. Secondly, you and I, we got to own it. We really got to own it, all right? Number three is the word wholehearted. Ephesians 6:7. Would you read together? Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Wholehearted. What does it mean, serve wholeheartedly? It means you give your best. It means you always want to improve. It means you spend time to better yourself. It means you do it joyfully. It means you are a team player, not just a team player, but a team player. You do it joyfully. You own the thing and you always desire to best. Now, I do not know whether you remember this, okay? When we first moved in, all our screen was quite plain. There was a season a few months ago, maybe about 5-6 months ago, all of a sudden the screen becomes beautiful. There was one particular, like a little moon red color one. How many remember that? Okay, never mind. Okay. Okay, all right. God bless you. Okay, anyway, there's this little, you know, red thing, and then the screen becomes very beautiful. I saw people take picture, Instagram, and say, wow, today the screen was so beautiful. You know, all this was very beautiful because someone wholeheartedly served in that ministry. She's very quiet. Her name is MC, and what she did was she played with the software, and she wanted to beautify the entire worship environment, and she created that. She is going to be one of the team player that will move on to plant PJ Church plant. I'm saying all of that to tell you that we need someone who is alert with VDJ and also someone who has some form of creativity to express the lyrics in such a way so that it enhances the entire world. Is it the most important thing? It is not. But if there is a way we have certain excellence, people walk away with, wow, right? You know, I know some of you are wondering, where do you serve? You know, what bothers you potentially is a place that God is calling you to serve. I've got people who come to me, Pastor, you know, every time I worship, right, the VDJ, they were slow by 2 seconds to click it. So I'm worshiping God. Jesus, I worship you. Hey, what's the lyric? What's the lyric? I go, how come never click? How come never click? Oh, click. Okay, yeah, but already cut my flow of worshiping God. If you feel like that, which I told the person, God is asking you to be the one. So if you are sitting here, right, you're looking, you know, yeah, the usher, no, not kind enough. Hello. Take off the robe. Put on the towel. Take the basin. And walk the road of servanthood. It's true. Everybody said, wow. Our desire is as many of you. Now, because of all these massive changes and high possibility of Q2 or Q3, we're going to start a second service on a Sunday. We need volunteers. All right? Now, in your hand, do you have it? Is it with them? In your hand? Do you have that little sheet of paper? All right? It's the volunteer list where it tells you, explain to you, all the possible ministry that you can serve. Okay? Now, I know if every one of you jump on board, we will not have enough ministry. We will not have enough. But it doesn't matter. Let's have a good start. And let's have more people than less. We need volunteers at every corner. This explains to you what are all the different ministries all about. Alright? Finally, there is a QR code. You just scan the QR code and then it brings you to the sign-up sheet and it tells you exactly the different position. Now, for some of them, because we are very clear, we need, for example, did you know, for a weekend to happen in this church, you easily need about 80 volunteers on a weekend to make everything happen, easily, for a weekend to happen. This morning, I know the worship team will come on 7:30 a.m. and they start practicing. They will piece together whatever. Then 9 o'clock, they have their little breakfast and then boom, they come to serve. What's going to happen when we have two services? I don't know. Maybe all of them have to come at 5:30 a.m. I don't know. God have mercy on them. Okay. But you know what? If you have a heartbeat, it's my worship unto God. As you can own it. And wholeheartedly, no matter what we do, when we do our best and put it in God's hand, it will always be a wow. Because it doesn't matter. Our 5 loaves and 2 fishes in God's hands was able to feed the 4,000 and the 5,000. All I'm asking is that you do it wholeheartedly as a worship unto God, and you do it and own it and do it together with us. Finally, the last verse. Would you read together? All the while, praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Each day, one more time. And each day, one more time. And now I want you to think about the next 365 days. We have already had 2 months, so take that away. Maybe 300 days, right? 308 days, maybe. All right? Think through. Every day. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship or church those who were being saved. You know, my schedule is really, really tight. I'm going to go to Bible college somewhere in the month of July. I have already have 10 to 12 traveling set up for this year already. Two trips in Manila, January. One trip in Guangzhou. March, I'll be going to Macau. Okay. And it just spread all throughout the year. I got back on Friday night after 5 massive meetings in China, nonstop, day and night. I met so many pastors, helped in so many different conversations, reconciled lives, and just really, you know, just busy all the way. I came back Friday night, go to bed, try to catch up with my kids, go to bed, wake up half awake, go for marriage seminar, came back, prep for this weekend, preached the service, met someone at 4 o'clock, preached the service, go for discovering God, and had 2 people give their life to Jesus, and maybe 2 more rededication. I went back home, I'm tired. Arsenal should have won to make me happy. The guy missed the penalty. It wasn't a wow. It wasn't wholehearted. Anyway, it was a half-hearted kick. Okay, anyway. I woke up this morning, 7 a.m. or earlier than that. Actually, I woke up at 6, you know, went for a walk. Came to church, met Neil for worship thing. Met the group for some live group people, you know, whatever. Come to church and it's going to continue the whole day. When I think about it, you know what really inspired me? Last night I had a good night's sleep. It wasn't because I'm tired. It was because Thomas gave his life to Jesus. It was because Hao Yi sits over here. Just now I saw her, Hao Yi. That's right. Gave her life to Jesus. You know, Vincent and Hao Yi. Vincent gave his life to Jesus last week. Hao Yi gave her life to Jesus yesterday. And I know that for weeks they've been thinking and considering about Jesus. And for me to see both happen at the same time. And I know Ki Chong was another very near one. I thought about all this. I thought about this verse. I hope every one of you will take on the same spirit every day. 365 souls this year. Daily, people will meet the grace of God, the love of God, and allow God to make a difference. And last weekend, Veron accepted Christ. And Veron accepting Christ was just incredible. One day I hope to tell the story of how she came to know the Lord together with Zeth and Kelmi, which accepted Christ about 6 months ago. You know, I hope every one of you, this is not just a place where you get blessed. This is a place where we desire that the love of God will reach out to as many as possible. Can I have a good amen? Would you do this then? Alright, turn to your neighbor and say, hey, add it. Turn to your neighbor and say, add it, add it. Alright. Turn to the other neighbor and say, to add others. Okay? Alright, now, remember, everything given to you, QR code scan, try to find a place. Let all our serving be a, come on, let our serving be a, oh, wow. And then the Bible says, Queen Sheba looked to the heaven. It says, blessed be your God for what He has done in your life. And I hope every weekend there'll be worship unto God because people walked away. Wow. That was extra mile. Wow. That was extra mile. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you we can come together to build your house together. This is not just a place where we get blessed and joy. You have meant it. We are blessed so that we can become a blessing to many people who do not know you. God, Malaysia is so big. There is 30 million people have yet to know you. God, and I know every church has the same heartbeat. But for this house, which I am responsible, which I am leading, I hope to lead everybody to be added and to add others. Give us a heart for people who do not know you. Help us to love people incredibly with the love of God. Teach us to cover our time, our schedule, our talent, our focus, our emotion, our desire to always include people into our life. We thank you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.